This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome into Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on a football Friday, the weekend. And a full slate of week two games loom. How's the old morning, Danny?
It's just fine and dandy, but right now this isn't about me. We got plenty to do today on the show. Okay, we got lots of good stuff that's going to happen. I believe Brian Baldinger is going to join us later on today. We'll get to the Redskins, Cowboys, Sean Sharif down in Dallas will join us. All that stuff is good and we will do it and it's important. But sometimes something happens, we got to stop and recognize it. Hall of Famer Grant Paulson.
Thank you, Danny.
That's a Hall of Famer. Some people are not Hall of Famers. Other people are. This is one that is. Grant Paulson had a Hall of Fame induction ceremony last night in King George. He gave a speech. He wore a tie. There was a cake with his picture on it. There's a plaque. Hall of Fame. Congratulations, buddy.
King George Sports Hall of Fame last night. It was pretty cool. And thanks to the committee that, for some reason, inducted me last evening. It was pretty emotional and awesome ceremony. They
had
multiple teams recognized from what is Ralph Bunch High School, which, you know, when I was growing up, it was just an old school that nobody used, sat vacant, that we practiced soccer on the fields of. And what it really was pre-integration when schools were self-segregated up until the late 60s in King George County, which is a shame and unfathomable for someone like me who was born in 1988. It was the school where African-Americans went, and they honored a bunch of the great athletes from Ralph Bunch last night who weren't yet in the Hall of Fame. So it was really cool to be a part of that induction class. But, yes, it was very neat. I gave a speech. I think it went over pretty well. I ate some cake that my face was on. That was delicious.
That's a weird thing to do.
And got to hang out with the family for a night, so that was great.
Who tied the tie? It looked great.
The tie. So my dad ended up tying the tie.
It was a splendid knot. Sharp outfit by you.
We went with a little bit more of a slender knot than the bigger hockey knot that I was thinking Joe Beninati might want me to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was the right look for the shirt. So it was a success overall.
I agree with everything. Everything that went down.
Yeah, it was a good night, and I do appreciate it. It was a cool deal. I'm going back this evening because at halftime of the football game, we're going out on the field for one final ceremony. So King George County, I'm coming home one more time this weekend. But it was a good time. Let's get into a couple of yesterday's big stories. You mentioned Sean Sharif.
Yes.
105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our sister station, does their morning show. He's actually just wrapping up his show right now. Sean will be on at 11 with us in 55 minutes. Dallas looked great in week one.
They did.
Dak Prescott in the Kellen Moore called offense looked extremely comfortable throwing for four touchdowns. They destroyed the Giants. They could have run up the score a lot worse if they were led by Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and they probably would have.
They decided not to. Craig Hoffman on the Redskins side of things today at 11:30. And we will, as you mentioned, talk to Brian Baldinger of Radio.com at 1 o'clock. But the Nats is where we got to start before we get into the Redskins and Thursday Night Football. Huge win for the Nationals. They broke out offensively yesterday. Back-to-back dubs to take a series over the Twins on the road in Minnesota. They maintain a 3.5-game lead in the wild card. They get a step closer with every win and with every passing day at this point to playing in the playoffs in October, which at one point looked unlikely. Yesterday, a couple of particulars here. Juan Soto hit his 34th home run. What he's doing at 20 years old is historical. He's one of the great sub-21-year-old players in the history of Major League Baseball. That's not an exaggeration. Two hits, two runs, and he drove in three yesterday. Went the opposite way with a home run down the left field line.
Uber impressive. He's now tied with Tony Conigliaro for second most homers before you turn 21 in the history of this game since they started counting numbers. Mel Ott's the only guy up ahead of him, and I believe he's five ahead at this point. It would take an unbelievable final month or down the stretch to tie that, but You don't need to do anything else. You could just not play, and you'd be right up at the top of the list. He's, I believe, tied with Ty Cobb for third in terms of RBIs. I mean, the names
about that,
on the on this list that he keeps hanging out with, right? It's the Ken Griffey Juniors. It's the, as I said, Melotts. Just your, hey, this is the third or fourth bust I see in the Hall of Fame when I walk in there in Cooperstown. It's not, you don't have to go down in the back and around the corner to check out and see where Tim Raines is. This is like
serves,
the first guy.
And I hope I'm not wrong about this. It's top of the head, but I think 1938 was the inaugural Major League Baseball, a pro baseball Hall of Fame class.
Sounds right.
Ty Cobb was in that class. You know, those guys like Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. He's tied with him. 12 runs for the Nats last night. They gave up 3 runs in the eighth, or else it would have been a real blowout. 12-6, the final score. Aaron Barrett pitched. And look, people got up in arms last night because the bullpen started giving up runs. No disrespect to Aaron Barrett. It's a cool story. He's back in the big leagues. We've talked about it. He's not pitching in the playoffs.
No.
He's not going to be on the playoff roster. The guys who are, Fernando Rodney last night, struck out a couple of batters in 2/3 of an inning scoreless. And Hunter Strickland allowed one guy to reach base on a walk, punched out a batter in a perfect frame otherwise behind Patrick Corbin, who gave him a quality start. So I wouldn't overreact much to the bullpen from yesterday. That was not their playoff bullpen in a blowout win. But they win by 6 runs going away. And in addition to Soto hitting his 34th homer, Anthony Rendon hit his 33rd home run. He knocked in 3 in the game. Anthony Rendon has 117 RBI. No national has ever driven in as many runs as a season as Rendon, who looks like he may win the batting title. He's hitting .335. No national has done that. He is having one of the great years ever turned in this organization's history in a contract year as steamrolls toward free agency and potentially leaving town.
He was awesome, and he needed it too. Wasn't doing much in that Twins series, so it was good to get him back on the right side of that. Adam Eaton jumped yard as well. Asdrubal Cabrera, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know how you feel about this. I've not run this by you. He's my everyday second baseman. Every time that guy comes up, something good happens. Right, he's knocking in runs. You're not going to have a great defensive. You know, there's no Roberto Alomar available to you. You're not going to have a great defensive second baseman. I care less about that than I did before with all the shifts and metrics that go on. Guys are positioned now via computer, and that's all fine. That guy just puts good at bat after good at bat after good at bat together, and it stinks for guys maybe like Kendrick and Dozier, but he's been unbelievable since he's been here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, when he came over, my thought was bench player. I don't want to see him starting. Let's not waste much time here. He's better than he was the first time they acquired him when he was still good.
Mm-hmm.
And before he'd kind of fallen out of favor with a couple of teams and had become a backup that was little used. He's had more impact in this second go-round with Washington when they brought him in midseason, going back under Matt Williams a few years ago
That's right.
He was getting ejected in a playoff game. And it didn't help quite as much then as they thought he might. Also last night, I ended up DVRing this. For whatever reason, I had a weird intrigue about the Panthers and the Bucks. I think it's just because I've always really liked Christian McCaffrey, and I wanted to see how they were using him. And I didn't really get what I wanted
last
night.
Well, hope you didn't watch the second half, because they decided not to.
They didn't involve him nearly as much as they should. They won't make that mistake again. They lost because of it. McCaffrey was held to 37 yards on 16 carries. If you watched the game last night, you saw this. The Bucs decided McCaffrey will not beat us. Cam Newton's going to have to. And Cam Newton was unable to. He completed less than 50% of his passes. He was 24 of 50. The most empty calorie hollow 324 yards you'll ever see.
He looks terrible.
Yes, he does.
He looked tired and beaten and slow and listen.
You watched the telecast?
Yeah.
What'd you make of Troy Aikman continually force-feeding the narrative that his arm is fine on every throw that was any tight spiral that was completed? He said,
clearly,
you can't make that throw if your shoulder's not hurt.
Clearly, a conversation that he had multiple conversations, I'm sure, with Carolina Panthers personnel, players, coaches, front office, and that's the assurance they gave him, and he went to air with it. It's incorrect. Newton looks awful. He has -2 rushing yards through 2 games. Cam Newton, it's not a big deal if Tom Brady has -2 rushing yards. Cam Newton, the guy that set records for rushing totals throughout his career, you had multiple 4th-and-1 opportunities, and you said the best thing for us to do is to do a fake reverse or trickeration. You have the great goal line back that also is your quarterback. That tells me everything. You can't tell me everything is fine when you're not. You don't want to use him in those circumstances.
Newton, after the game last night, talking with the media, wearing another weird outfit. He spends a lot of time thinking about his outfits. Here he was post game.
I mean, I feel okay, but you're not gonna hear no type of reasons why tonight didn't go as planned. I have to be better, no matter what physical condition I'm in, no matter what foot, shoulder, I ain't get the job done tonight, man. And it's frustrating. I wish I could say something other than that, but you know that's the facts. And you know I'm extremely brutally honest person, you know, with people, and I'm extremely brutally honest with myself. And it's time for me to look myself in the mirror and, you know, do some real soul searching, because I had opportunities tonight and I didn't get it done.
That's leadership. I mean, it makes it easy to admire and respect Cam Newton when you hear that. That's a guy that in the past has walked off the podium and walked away from tough questions, and he's taking it on the chin right now. So I really do admire that. Look, the bottom line for Cam Newton is he's had one great season. He's had a couple of other pretty good years, but he's had one year where he was spectacular. And the norm for him is much closer to last night than when he was gunning for an MVP award and getting to the Panthers a Super Bowl. I'd also say this, though. Fellow number one pick, who is due a contract at the end of this season as a free agent, Jameis Winston, he wasn't impressive last night either. Now,
no,
he was 16
bad.
Of 25 and kind of a game manager type game, 208 yards. He force-fed Chris Godwin, who was great in his matchup, 121 and 8 catches for him, scored a touchdown. But Jameis Winston missed a lot of throws and hangs on to the ball way too long. He takes a ton of sacks instead of just getting rid of the ball and checking it down. If you're a quarterback, up and coming, some young prospect, don't watch that footage from last night. It's not going to get you any better.
It's one of those times, if you just check the box score, you'd go, oh, it wasn't too bad. 103 rating, 16 to 25.
Right.
Sounds like he was pretty efficient, right? He got sacked a bunch, under pressure a bunch. He looked lost and scared and unsure of himself, missed so many throws. This was a bad quarterbacking performance last night. And I don't know if this is just a Thursday Night Football thing, but I think it's a harbinger of stuff to come, because Winston was really, really bad in week one against the Rams as well. And Newton, this shoulder thing, it ain't right. I don't care what anybody says. I know that after the last time he had shoulder surgery, he came out and he couldn't really execute very well on offense. And now he doesn't look had the same burst anymore. Because even those years, as you mentioned, he wasn't a good passer. He had 1,500 yards and 22 touchdowns over his first two seasons as a runner.
Yeah,
he was dynamic, and that's gone.
Panthers 0-2 with two home games behind him now. That's about as bad a start as you can have. Good win for the Bucs. Not expected to do a whole lot this year under Bruce Arians, but now 1-1. Stole a game. Not a lot of people had them winning last night. Next on Grant and Danny, again at 11 o'clock, Sean Sharif from Dallas on the Cowboys. 11:30, our beat reporter Craig Hoffman gets you set for Sunday's game at FedEx Field on this Football Friday. Odell Beckham Jr. had some pretty big claims against Greg Williams that have drawn the ire and the attention of the NFL. We'll tell you about him next on The Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson for Fauquier County, a county I've spent a little bit of time in here lately because they've got a lot to do, and it's just outside of the city. For a long time, I was picking and choosing spots and driving for little getaways. And then someone said to me, what do you know about Fauquier? And I didn't know a whole lot until I went to visit Fauquier.com. That has now changed. I know about their half dozen breweries and their 25 wineries and their nice spots for little romantic overnight getaways. And, oh, by the way, they're a little under 40 miles west of Washington, D.C. Hop down I-66, and you are there. There's a big horse racing event coming up that a lot of people have attended for many, many years. This time of year in the fall, apple orchards, pumpkin picking. Check it out. I know a lot of you, like me, like to just get out of the bustling city. You want to just get some fresh air. You want to look up in the sky at night and see stars. You could do that. Take a deep breath in Fauquier County. Visit Fauquier.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. We are available, as always, on Twitter.
It's funny, Danny, for me, and if you want to get in touch with the Hall of Famer Grant Paulson, you got to go Grant H. Paulson. The H now is for Hall of Fame.
Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland Browns, had a first game with the team to forget, not just because he didn't do maybe what he was hoping, but more importantly, the Browns got destroyed by the Titans. They got booed at home. The high expectations in Cleveland weighing on Freddie Kitchens and that team. Brown was talking with the media this week, and when at the podium yesterday was asked about whether or not the New York Jets, who they play on Monday Night Football, led by defensive coordinator Greg Williams, would double team him. And he didn't really want to talk about whether he was going to get double teamed. He said, they're going to play me like most teams do. They'll shade a safety my way, and I'm going to get a lot of attention. He wanted to talk about the fact that he's more worried about his safety when he plays against teams coordinated by Greg Williams. Remember, he got in trouble for the bounty scandal with the New Orleans Saints years ago, because it is his belief that in the past, Greg Williams has had players take cheap shots at him.
The only thing I'm buying is, you know, probably just got to watch out for the cheap shots and the dirty hits and all the things that he likes to teach. That's pretty much all we got to watch out for. Other than that, I expect the same too high safety. I don't expect much man-to-man. I don't expect none of that.
It was Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday. I want to go a little bit deeper into some of the other things he had to say. He was referencing, apparently, as it was they dug into this, a preseason game where he was with the Giants playing against a Greg Williams defense. At the time, as a matter of fact, Williams was coordinating the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, look at that, would you?
And they're, the DB in question, their defensive back, I think it was Brian Bodie Calhoun, something like that. He hit Odell Beckham Jr. in a way on a play where he jumped up the ladder to make a catch and came down on his knee, basically injured his ankle. He was ruled out for the rest of the game. He thinks that that was a dirty hit and that Greg Williams had advised players to do that. And if you are like me and you hear that and your first thought is, it's probably not true, he's probably making that up. But here's a quote that he kind of used as evidence. He said, it's preseason. It's a known rule. Nobody in the NFL is really out to do stuff like that. I had players on this team, meaning the Browns, telling me that that's what he was telling them to do. Take me out of the game. And it's preseason, so you know who he is. Just that's the man calling the plays. His claim is that he had friends on the Browns tell him that in a preseason game, defensive coordinator Greg Williams suggested that they cheap shot Odell Beckham Jr. and knock him out of the game.
I do not believe Odell Beckham.
I can't either. After the bounty scandal, by the way. That in a preseason game, he'll risk everything so that they could potentially get OBJ out of an exhibition game he was going to be in for a couple of drives anyway?
Yeah. So when I always say this about college coaches, right? When a college employs a selfish, me first, I'm going to leave at the first chance of a better deal coach, you can't act surprised when that man behaves in that way. Like if you employ Bobby Petrino, he's going to better deal you the instant he can. He's going to bolt, and he's going to leave you in the lurch, and your recruits will be screwed and whatever. You'll be left worse off than when you made that deal. When you employ Odell Beckham, you have to deal with whatever this is. You're going to get that. Now, what do I believe that Greg Williams probably had a focal point for his defense? Do I believe that he was saying, hey, you guys, defensive backs, I want to see you hit this week. We're not hitting worth a you-know-what. Put your you-know-what in the A-gap, blah, blah, blah. Greg Williams is an old-school lunatic, okay? So there's probably a happy medium here where Greg Williams instructed certain players to say, I want to see you guys be physical. So next thing you know, Odell Beckham's like, yeah, they cheap-shotted me that time in the preseason. Actually, I bet you those guys, he had them trying to compete hard to win roster spots to change their crappy culture because they were just finished going 0-16.
Yeah, I just, even in the regular season, I wouldn't believe this for a second. I'm going to stop short of saying Odell Beckham Jr.'s making up the conversations with players on the Browns. Maybe they happened. It's getting lost in translation somewhere. You cannot convince me, short of having video of Greg Williams or audio of the defensive coordinator audibly saying, take him out of the game, that that happened. And the fact that it was in a preseason game leads me to give it 100% certainty and zero credence that I just can't possibly fathom that it would have happened. One more quote I'll read you from Odell Beckham Jr. talking about that injury to his ankle in the preseason when supposedly Williams instructed the Browns to hurt him. By the way, obviously the league is looking into this. They've had no comment yet, but when a player says that other players told him that a coach said to injure the player on purpose, and it's the same guy from the bounty scandal, that's a pretty big deal. You can't just throw that out there willy-nilly.
It's pretty heavy accusation.
Greg Williams is going to be questioned by the NFL. But OBJ said, you know, if God wouldn't have blessed me the way I am, probably, I would have blown my knee in that preseason game if I wouldn't have gotten my foot out of the ground. And that high ankle sprain led to the broken ankle to the left, and then which led to conversations in many different areas. I think he's talking about how bad he wanted to be a Giant and some of those things. He's basically saying it changed the direction of his career in New York. It's something that I'll never forget. It's something that it changed my life forever. So I don't necessarily regret it, of course. I wish it didn't happen, but it did. So yeah, that led to the ankle for sure. But that was the year ender. That was the broken ankle. He said it all started from that play. I'm just not buying what he's selling.
Well, again, it goes on to there are other incidents where Greg Williams' coordinated defenses hit him. I have news. You're an excellent receiver, just the way that a quarterback is excellent. I bet you if Greg Williams coordinates against the New Orleans Saints, the plan, and this might be a shocker, to clutch your pearls here, folks, to try to hit the quarterback. That you might try to slow somebody down by being physical with them. Odell Beckham is excellent. Maybe you try to give him second thoughts by striking him forcefully when he crosses the middle of the field, or you can.
And you're right about that. But big difference between that, big difference between saying hit him and saying take him out of the game. And to allege that players confirmed to you that he did that, that's a huge claim. That is, from a football standpoint, that's about as bad as it gets for a coach, really. Genuinely, it is. Someone can't say anything much worse than that about you and have you keep your job if it's found true, especially when you're the guy who was already investigated and in trouble and out of the league for a year because of a bounty scandal previously. I think he just kind of threw that out there like, oh, this is something interesting that I'll point out. Dude, this is a guy's
You're not realizing
livelihood.
Repercussions.
I don't
yeah.
know what you're understanding or not understanding here, but this is a really big deal for Greg Williams in the league. This was a black mark and a black eye on this league for a little while. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, the Redskins play the Cowboys. Rivalry renewed. If Washington wins, how will it do it? Let's write the script for a Redskins victory on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Not really being involved. It was just a week. You know, just a week off pretty much.
Week off is not necessarily the worst thing ever for a 34-year-old running back. Get that body fresh for Dallas, and Adrian Peterson is tuned up and ready to go.
Well, I got information. I didn't know this before I heard that clip. No way the Redskins win on Sunday. No way. They're done, Grant. You heard the ping pong in the background. You could hear the bounce of that ping pong ball clear as day. That's it.
At this point, you can't hear a interview in the Redskins locker room without hearing ping pong in the background.
But then when change of events happen, you know, it's like it's not like it was 3 to 4 weeks where I was just kind of doing practice squad things and, you know, not really being involved. It was just a week. You know, just a week off pretty much.
Cowboys 50, Redskins nothing. Stop doing the show. We're done.
Pack it up.
Leave for the day.
Try again in week three. We'll let Sean Sharif of Dallas Radio, when he joins us in 25 minutes, know the Cowboys have nothing to worry about because Dustin Hopkins and Tress Way were playing a little ping pong in the locker room while Adrian Peterson was talking. By the way, everybody in the playoff chase for the Nats yesterday won. So before we get into the Redskins and the Cowboys and take some calls, I just want to point out the Nats won a huge game yesterday.
They needed it, man.
But in the meantime, the four teams chasing them, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Mets, and the Phillies all also won. So the top five teams to get in the wild card race in the playoffs all get a victory. More on the Nationals coming up. All of our Nats coverage today and every day in this stretch run is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, and affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. The Redskins and the Cowboys, 1 o'clock kickoff at FedEx Field on Sunday. Last I saw was a 5.5-point spread. Is that still what it is?
That's the last I saw, too.
I'm assuming that line will move to 6 before kickoff, just because I think everybody seems to think Dallas is going to win. But last I saw, it was about 5.5. I think this will be a fairly close game for a couple of quarters. My curiosity is whether or not Dallas pulls away late and wins by 10-13, or whether the Redskins can hang in there and this thing can be decided by a field goal. But here's the question, and we'll open up the phone lines for the first time today at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. If the Redskins win, how will they have done it? Give us the script as of Monday, the column, so to speak, that's being written for a Redskins upset, I guess we could say, although week two in the division, how big of an upset can it be if they were to beat Dallas? Danny, I believe that the key to beating the Cowboys, first and foremost, and there's a list of 50 things we could cover here. We could do 4 hours on this if we wanted to. The Redskins have to get more pass rush.
Without question.
They have to get to the quarterback in a way that they were not able to against Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
And good luck this week. The best offensive line in football and a quarterback that can move around.
You gave up 32 points to the Eagles, almost all of them 25 after halftime. Everything came easy to Philly. You couldn't get them off the field. Carson Wentz extended plays and got out of the pocket and broke contain, and he set the Redskins secondary up to fail, and he was allowed to. Now, I don't think necessarily that any one player played poorly. Now, you can knock Ryan Kerrigan or Montez Sweat or any pass rusher on the defensive front who collapses the pocket like Deron Payne or Matt Ioannidis if you need to. They all had moments where they were very good. I thought Kerrigan was tremendous in the run game. But you need more. You need to harass Dak Prescott. You cannot allow him flat-footed to be comfortable like he was when he dissected the New York Giants.
Killed him.
For 400 yards. This is one of those paging your edge rusher games. Casanova McKenzie had one sack last week for a zero-yard loss. It was the only sack in the game. That ain't going to cut it. Sweat's got to show something. Hasn't much in the preseason or in week one. Kerrigan, who has tormented the Cowboys over the years and has been tremendous in division games, kind of early on why I felt like he was better and different than Brian Arakpo, and he's proven to be. He'll end up at the end of this season very likely being the Redskins' all-time leading sack artist. But you got to get pressure, because I thought that was the under-talked-about theme of the second half. We chewed up and spit out so many other topics, and we got so into the running back situation and some of the drama with Jay Gruden. This is a team that is built defensively on rushing the quarterback, and they did it poorly.
Third and 10, third and 10, third and 15, third and 7, third and 8, nothing. That's you've won. That is the whole point of defense, is to force the offense into a spot where you know what's coming, and you don't have to account for anything else. If you don't have to account for a running back throwing out of the backfield or a play action fake or this misdirection or that, you know they're passing. They know they're passing. They know that you know. That's the time. That's the time for wonderment and stat counting. And it was a disaster in week one. That's got to change.
Think about Dallas's weapons, right? This isn't just that you could say this, oh, any week you got to rush the quarterback. Kind of. Every week you're not playing Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Randall Cobb one-on-one on the outside and tight ends that are difficult to deal with. Blake Jarwin in the red zone. Jason Witten out of retirement caught a touchdown last week. Ezekiel Elliott out of the backfield as a pass catcher, as an assassin. They have so many weapons, and they're not going to use them poorly like they used to. Kellen Moore knows the way offense moves in 2019. Mm-hmm. He spreads you out. He motions guys around. He dictates coverages pre-snap for Dak Prescott. Is it man? Is it zone? In a way that they really haven't all that well in the past. So this isn't just about Kerrigan and Sweat and McKenzie and Payne and Ioannidis. You know who else this is about to me? This is about Greg Minuski.
Oh, yeah.
How about you dial some stuff up?
How do you feel about that chess match? Kellen Moore, Greg Minuski sitting down.
Send a safety off the edge. Send a corner. Send linebackers. Help get the ball out of the quarterback's hand. I will take being beaten on a blitz over just watching Carson Wentz stand there, order a pizza, and throw a pass every single time.
You can't cover when you cover with eight either. So there you go. To me, the number is three. Three is the number of my thinking. The number of my thinking is three. Three enormous plays have to take place for the Redskins to win this game. One's got to be on offense. Something's got to be easy. Broken coverage, catch and run, Terry McLaurin, Paul Richardson, Chris Thompson. Somebody's got to do something epic, right? You got to get an easy score like Vernon Davis gave you to have a chance in week number two against the Cowboys. Because if you just line up and drive up and down the field, you guys just exchange punts or first downs, the Cowboys win the game. The first has got to be a huge play on offense. The second, you need some sort of massive defensive play. I mean, like sack, fumble, picked up in the end zone. Preston Smith, Ryan Kerrigan tag team to do that last year. Interception return, batted pass up in the air, Darryl Grant style. Some amazing, huge defensive play that shifts the game and takes things away, that maybe puts some points on the board. And third is a gaffe. Third is some sort of special teams gaffe from Dallas. A muffed punt, a field goal that gets blocked, or some sort of something wrong with the operation. God forbid the Redskins have a return that's positive in any kind of aspect, whether it's kick return, punt return, etc. I think you need a huge game-changing play in all three phases of football that you could never count on in a given week to be able to beat the Cowboys.
You're acting like this is a David Goliath matchup here.
I'm acting like one team's a lot better than the Redskins, well, and it's going to feel like a home game at the worst stadium in sports.
I think that that's fair, and I'm getting a lot of tweets, a lot of shtick here. Andy says, the Skins run really good offensive sets, and Dallas all gets mono. The Redskins are not the Dolphins, people. Let's settle down on their incompetence and that they can't put one foot in front of the other here. Case Keenum looked really good. Terry McLaurin got behind everybody a couple of times. Offensively, they were more fun to watch this past week than they were at any point last season. And you got Adrian Peterson fresh, coming off 1,000 yards as a backup running back getting plugged in, who's hungry to show that he shouldn't have been deactivated and slapped in the face last week, as Morgan Moses put it here on The Fan. If the Redskins beat the Cowboys, how will they have done it? Dallas is clearly better. You got to knock off the top team in the division coming out of week one. 800-636-1067 is the number.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It's a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game and every bet for real sports fans. If you missed our show yesterday, out at MedStar Iceplex where the Capitals train. A lot of great interviews. They're available if you want the video on YouTube, but also on our podcast, as always, on thefandc.com and grantanddanny.com/audio. Big thanks to the Caps, by the way. We go out there for one day. Think about this. We're out there for 4 hours, and we talk to Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Tom Wilson, and Jacob Vrana.
Very cool.
Great of them to set that up, and it was neat as big Caps fans to go out there and just see how they go about their business for a day at the facility. We are wondering if the Redskins can pull off a win over the Cowboys and get to 1-1 and even their record through two contests, how will they have done it? I gave you my first big key to the game. I think they've got to rush the quarterback more effectively. I am calling on Ryan Kerrigan and Montez Sweat and Casanova McKenzie to break into the backfield. I'll throw Ryan Anderson into the mix as well, although you know about my expectations.
He could be on the field when a sack happens.
It would be nice. I think also dial something up, Minuski. Send Cole Holcomb or John Bostic, you know, in the A-gap. Or bring, if Monte Nicholson goes, some speed off the edge. By the way, here's something nobody's talking about. Monte Nicholson, who's hurt all the time, just constantly hurt all the time, is hurt again. I was at Redskins Park on Wednesday, and they were talking about possibly not having Monte Nicholson. You realize that if he can't play, Troy Apke might play at safety opposite Landon Collins.
Oh, no.
That's unacceptable. And I don't even like doing segments like this because it's not even fair to Troy Apke, and it almost sounds like vitriolic in nature, and that's not my goal. But that's a guy who has proven with every opportunity he's gotten that he is not ready. And to put him in that spot is unfair. I understand that you drafted him in the third round. Frankly, if you didn't, I'm not even sure he'd be on the team at this point. He's still on the team because in year two, you don't want to admit, yeah, I'm not sure that we got this one right. The guy can fly. He's got great speed. He can play special teams. I get why he's around. But if he's playing safety against this defense with those wide receivers, that's a disaster in waiting.
They're going to find him, and they will expose him.
It's
pretty simple.
You got to get Jeremy Reeves up and play him. And I don't even know if he's any good. I don't know a lot about him. I liked what I saw in the preseason. But I don't think you can have Troy Apke play 95% of defensive snaps and plan on slowing the Cowboys down.
The way to do it then is you got to account for that. And maybe he just lines up Greg Williams style 30 yards off the ball and he's just the last man. You play defense with 10, basically. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, it's a razor-thin margin of error anyway. And this is a 2019 Cowboys offense. I don't want to overreact to what we saw in week one, but I'm telling you, if you saw any of that game, you would not recognize the Cowboys.
Yeah.
There was no seven tight ends, run it behind Zeke Elliott, and he makes a couple moves and gets 4.5 yards, and the place goes nuts, and they do it again 19 times, and he's making the stupid soup motion or cereal, whatever the hell it is. They were moving all over the place, confusing the defense, lining up, constant motion, picking people apart. Yards after the catch, it looked like the damn Kansas City Chiefs.
Do you picture soup or do you picture cereal?
I actually thought cereal. I don't know why I said soup.
Well, guys do that. It means they're eating.
Yeah, like we eat this up.
I don't think it's any one food.
Feed me. It's a spoon, though.
I've always thought you could be like forking something into your mouth.
I guess you could.
Because if you're eating, you eat more often with a fork than a spoon.
You feel like it's a spoon or a fork?
And it seems like a spoon motion, but I think you're forking. You have the plate because a lot of guys hold the plate.
Yeah,
in their
you got to hold the plate right up there.
And they're just scraping it off.
See,
the
I
plate.
Thought he was holding the bowl for cereal
because we got pho yesterday for lunch. I'm gonna say it's a bowl and a spoon.
Spoon.
We still don't know how we got pho, do we?
Yes,
we do.
The manager, a guy named Anthony, tweeted me.
Oh,
and
wow.
said I did it, and I was like, dude, you are the hero of the day, Metallica.
What a saint he is.
What a mensch. In the new Boston Common Mall, me and you noodles.
Thank you, Michael Thomas. Delicious. And Cam Jordan.
Delicious.
Thank you, Drew Brees. Let's go to Dan in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. How will the Redskins beat the Cowboys? Tom, you're gonna have to punch him up, it looks like. Because maybe it worked. I don't know. We're just chopping wood here as best
Danny,
we can.
I love that song, Hero of the Day by Metallica.
It's a great tune, man.
And I love you guys, and I've had dreams about being in the studio again with you. First and foremost, eliminate the penalties. And Case Keenum is better than I thought he was. If they key on McLaurin, get the ball to Vernon Davis and Jay Reed and Chris Thompson. I want to see some turnovers. Two interceptions, maybe a fumble recovery. Limit the big plays by Dallas. You know, Elliott will get his yards. Gallup is underestimated by teams. I know there will be a lot of Dallas fans at the stadium, and there's a lot of negative Nancys out there, but I think we can do it. Can you imagine if the Skins win? This city is going to be electric.
I'm not sure if it will be electric. I hope that people are very happy on Monday. I think that, look, you beat the Cowboys.
It's joyous.
There's going to be excitement. People are going to be jacked up to talk trash to the six people in their office out of 10 that love Dallas. Can't name five players, never been there, but who say, how about those Cowboys? So that's a fun time for everyone. I think at 1-1, though, I don't know that there will be electricity yet, but you'd set yourself up if you could win on primetime against the Bears team that made the playoffs last year. Back-to-back wins over 2018 playoff teams and being 2-1. Now we're talking about some electricity. Chris in Hanover, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. I think that there's three keys to this. One, they have to have a great scripted game plan like they did last game. Score early and often, you know, lower those penalties. On defense, they definitely need to focus on Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott. They don't have a Cole Beasley on that team anymore, so they need to be double-teaming and gang-tackling those guys every chance that they get.
It's a good call. Here's the problem. Michael Gallup went for 100 on 7 catches, had a bigger day even than Amari Cooper. And on top of that, they don't have Cole Beasley, but they've got Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Randall Cobb.
I think on his best day, Randall Cobb's better than Cole Beasley. Kyle in Fairfax, you want to see one of the players on offense get the ball more this week. Who?
Hey, guys. Yes, I want to see Chris Thompson get the ball more. I know that Jay Gruden has made it a point the last 2 years of limiting his touches because of injury risk. But if you want to pose a sort of three-down running back threat, it's not going to be the same. But Chris Thompson needs to be that player who's not special for 7 plays a game this week. He's got to be special for maybe 10 to 15, and he's got to be on the field a lot to really confuse the Dallas defense with some draws, screens, and passes. On defense, I think you got to look at the Tampa Bay game last year. I don't think we're going to hold him to that few of points. It's got to be bend but don't break. I think Dallas is going to move the ball, and we've shown we cannot recover from long bombs to DeSean Jackson or this week Amari Cooper. Got to keep it in front of you. When they get to the red zone, pinch for 3. And I think you're going to give up a lot of yards, but if you can hold them to a few field goals, that's your fighting chance.
Yeah, it's a great call. I do think they're going to move the ball up and down the field. If they go 2-for-6 or 2-for-5 in the red zone or whatever it is, it's a different ball game because then you get those field goals and you can hang in the thing. Do you buy this? I had a buddy hit me up about the Redskins backfield. He had Geis in fantasy, and he said, Peterson versus Thompson, who's the guy? Who would you rather have? I think Chris Thompson, particularly from a fantasy standpoint, but in general this week, if they're behind especially, dumping the ball down to him, but just in general, on the field a lot, Jay wants to run, as we saw, those 3 receiver sets. They ran them 95% of the time, the most in the NFL this past weekend.
You got to change less when Thompson's on the field.
It was a 2-to-1 Thompson to Geis workload this past week in terms of snaps. I think Thompson could play a huge role this weekend.
And I would, too. I love the call. Because, again, you want to sustain some drives instead of just going 3 and out 5 of 6 times as they did against Philadelphia. Early down running back passing sets you up in a much better situation. Easy pitch and catch. You complete it at a 70, 80% clip of the time. You get your 5-plus yards because it's in space. And then you can start to do the thing that you want to do, which is have ineffective runs. You're desperate to do that. Maybe wait a little bit and get something effective first.
We've got a Nats stock report coming up later in the show, but next we will preview the Redskins and the Cowboys, scout the opponent with Sean Sharif out in Dallas, who hosts mornings on our sister station. You're listening to Grant and Danny on a Football Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.